This episode of TMS brought to you by Squarespace at squarespace.com. Ever feel like building a website? Don't want to learn all the hokey-cokey code? Well, then good. Squarespace.com has you covered with all the tools and templates you need to build a beautiful website, blog, store, whatever. Head on over to squarespace.com, try the trial, and if you decide to stay, use the code MORNING at checkout for 10% off your account. That's 10% off with the code MORNING. Coming up on TMS, went down on the bayou.
Dust off that old Kindle.
The Simpsons said something scary 16 years ago.
The Hulk wins.
Stop motion monkeys.
Major spoilers.
V for video games and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I'm still working on my Coke addiction. My Diet Coke addiction, that is.
Keep working on that freaking cake that everyone wants to eat.
The Morning Stream, a drifter just passing through their town.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, the morning stream for Monday, the 21st of March, 2016. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Abbott.
Hello.
How was your weekend?
It was nice. Yeah. It was a little bit more relaxing. I get to spend some time again working on stuff, fixing Coverville, moved it to a new server. So still in the process, like getting a few things done in there, but also kind of improving the look and the performance and adding stuff to it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just get back to square one. I want to like surpass square one and get to like square five.
Whoa, that's a lot of squares, and I'm impressed with your...
Square five is in the gumdrop forest.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
Well, if you buy enough gems, you can get there sooner than anyone else. I had a fantastic little weekend. It was nice and interesting. I didn't know this, so I got to tell you this. I got to tell you this little brief story here.
Sure.
I didn't know this was waiting for me, but... Friday night after Current Geek, the wife and I took Dylan and Taylor out to dinner because they house sat for us. And we thought, well, that's a nice way to pay them back for their fine work while we were out of town. And they did a great job. So we thought, you know what, let's take them out. And I said, Taylor, where do you want to go? And she goes, Dad, I think I really liked, I've never been to the Bayou. And now that I'm 21, I can get in there. And I said, oh, the Bayou, fantastic. That's great food. It's like real New Orleans export people came here, moved from New Orleans and opened this bar pub food place that's like real Southern Creole Cajun, you know, all that.
It's a bar where you can't get in unless you're over 21.
Yeah, it's technically, I wouldn't say it's more of a bar. I don't know. It's like a bar. It's about half and half. Like they're big on like craft beers and all that stuff, and everyone loves it for that. But then also they have this amazing food, right?
I mean, usually, like, even Tristan could get into a place like that with me as long as I'm there with him.
Yeah, usually, yes. But I guess this thing is like, I don't know.
Wow.
It's like a full... I mean, you go in there and it's mostly people standing around a bar yelling. So it's...
Kids can't appreciate jambalaya.
That's right. So we go in there and we got to do that. Now, here's what we did. So we go downtown and we're thinking, we've left early enough. We should beat all the kinds of rushes and things. It shouldn't be a problem.
Sure.
It's all going to be good. And we get down there, or we get downtown, and we notice that there is traffic everywhere downtown, kind of like gridlock everywhere.
Uh-oh.
And cops and stuff everywhere. I'm like, what is going on? Is this like Fear of the Walking Dead? People are starting to wake up? Or what's going on? And turns out there was a, just finishing up, a Bernie Sanders rally.
Oh.
I didn't know they were
out there still feeling the burn.
I didn't know they were out here. I didn't know any of this was going to happen. I knew Tuesday was our big caucus day thing.
Right.
But I didn't know they'd be in town. So Bernie's up there near the University of Utah, which kind of bleeds into downtown. And that was like 14,000 people came to his rally. That is a lot of effing people.
That is a lot of people.
I got news for everyone who thinks that Salt Lake City is a huge, very, very conservative city. You got it backwards. Anyway.
It's a lot of people who want to hear the ant from the old Pink Panther cartoons talk.
Yeah, exactly.
We got to get this. Economy, back up and running.
That's a really good Sanders, man. Sanders, man. Anyway, so there's like a huge crowd, and that was finally dispersing, and, you know, by all accounts, a fine event, whatever. That was the end of that. And then the beginning, downtown somewhere, I don't know where, a hotel or something, there was a Trump rally. I didn't know Trump was in town.
Mm.
And there are helicopters overhead, like with like... you know, spotlights on the buildings and everything.
Sense. I mean, he usually likes to keep things pretty low key. I could understand how he could kind of sneak into town and not let anybody know that he's there.
Nice and quiet as a mouse, really.
Yeah.
So he's in town, I don't know where, and there are people everywhere on the road, either carrying an anti-Trump banner or a pro-Trump something.
Right. Oh, yeah. Saw the footage, actually, from out there with people, like, blocking streets. And
yeah, it was gnarly there. And we didn't know this was happening. This is how informed I am on my local events. I didn't know any of this was going on. So it's, like, the worst night to ever go just to take your kids to dinner. Like, right. It just seems like the stupidest plan. So the longer we were down there in this traffic, I was just like, oh, my gosh, they've literally shut down the road we need to be on. So it's on Main Street or State Street, and they've their cops have blocked off that street entirely.
The street with the restaurant on it.
With the restaurant on it, yeah. So okay. It's getting worse. The further we get in, we're just like, oh, my gosh, what are we doing to ourselves? Well, they're still open. They're still moving or, you know, doing business. So we're like, all right, well, we'll just park three blocks away and walk down there. So that's what we did. And here's the best part. Get out of the car. And the guy right in front of us was still sitting in his car, and he was parked right in front of a fire hydrant. Absolute ticket bait. Okay.
Yeah.
And I saw that and I thought, and we pulled in right behind him just with enough room. And then he's still sitting in his car. And I went, oh, no, you know what? I wonder if he was there and then was going to back up and we came and ganked his car.
Oh, no.
That's right. What we thought for a second. So I said, Kim, wait here for a second.
He gets so out. Nice of you to think about that.
Yeah. We're going to move if that's what he's done.
I'd like go the other direction and never look back.
I am going to totally let this guy have his spot.
Go around the block the other direction in case he sees us and gets out of his car and yells, hey, yuck, hey,
he would have said. So he comes out of his car and he starts walking toward us. Yeah. And I went, oh, well, that's what this is. So yeah. So Kim starts rolling down her window. She's driving. She's rolling down her window, but he goes right past her and just keeps walking up to get into a big crowd of people and keep moving. And he's wearing a Make America Great Again red hat.
Nope.
Okay. So he wasn't apparently trying to get that spot. He had just parked there and wasn't paying attention. And I tweeted about this, but all I could think about was, he now has another reason to hate the government in about an hour after he gets back. Because he's going to get a ticket. There's no way he doesn't get a ticket for parking where he parked. Because there's a big old yellow hydrant right next to his car. Anyway, we didn't say anything to him. I probably should have gotten out and said, hey, you parked in front of a hydrant. But I just thought, I've done my one good deed, which is I was going to let him have the spot if we had screwed up. That's good enough for me. Let's get over to the restaurant. So that was fun. We get out of the car, and now there are, like, police everywhere, and there are a lot of biker cop type, like, chips-looking dudes. Mm-hmm. They all look like John and Ponch.
Sure.
And had their bikes parked at the end of the closed street and everything. And I walked, as we're trying to walk to the restaurant, their lights are all going, and the street is completely empty, and they're, again, choppers overhead going everywhere up there. And I think they may have been police helicopters. They may have also been reporters. I don't know. I don't know what it was. They weren't Black Hawks or anything weird like that. And so we're making our way down the street, and suddenly the entire place to me appears to be like the set of Walking Dead. Because there's nobody on the street.
Right. Oh, please tell me there's like newspapers like fluttering in the wind and
oh, totally, dude.
Like, yeah,
little bits of trash because it was windy that night. It was a little bit chilly out. Like, it was kind of scary. Like, I was walking down there, going, man, I'm glad Carter's not here. She'd have a total meltdown because she hates that whole zombie motif, like the whole feel of it. So we're making our way there, and when we get to the bar, it's packed. Everyone's having a great time. Music's loud. Everything's great. And that's a slow night for them, so it actually worked out in our favor. We got food quicker. Way awesome service because it was just slightly less than what they're used to on a Friday. I mean, sucks for them because they probably got dinged on business because Trump's got his fat ass in town, right?
You'd think, though, that like people would want to, you know, let's take a break from the rally and go get some fried clams or whatever.
There may have been some of that.
Some etouffee.
I think it was just getting started is the problem.
Okay.
So maybe later they would have benefited from that crowd. But the guy that helped us was like, yeah, it's slow tonight. And it still felt busy to me. But anyway, the bottom line is we get over there, and right as we're about to go in, a couple of guys that look probably homeless, probably a little bit on the drug-addled side, like one guy looked like he was eating meth for lunch. I don't know what he had for lunch. But he goes, as we're walking, he goes, or something like that to my face. And it reminded me of Steve Carell in the Ron Burgundy deal. Or not Ron really? Burgundy. Bruce Almighty.
Bruce Almighty, right. Behind the desk.
That thing. And he does it right at me. And I was like, well, what is this? Why are we doing this? And we just kept walking, kept my head down, just kept walking. And he was kind of behind us doing it. And in my head, because I'm such an idiot, and I've been watching way too much Walking Dead, in my head it was like, he's warning me. The virus is inside the building.
I think the virus was inside him. I think this is how they change.
Yeah, he may have been the first. He was patient zero. But
right.
We got in there. We had alligator cheesecake. You ever had that?
I've had alligator and I've had cheesecake. I've never had a dish that combines the two.
Well, as Kim puts it, it's a savory dish. It's not sweet at all. It's alligator meat and some kind of cream cheesy hoo-ha in there. Mm-hmm. And then you got a crusty outside cornmeal thing, but
like
it looks like
a kind of thing,
yeah,
right?
It's kind of like quiche, but it looks like if you looked at it and didn't know any better, it looks like cheesecake. And then there's like, it looks like raspberry sauce around it, but it's not. It's like a tomato.
It's alligator blood.
Right. Don't waste it.
We never waste the alligator.
Oh, we use the whole alligator. Yeah. So we had that. That was fantastic. We had a Cajun burrito, which sounds terrible, but is amazing.
Oh, that sounds really
Kim,
good.
Kim had shrimp etouffee, or no, crawfish etouffee. What did I have? I had some kind of crazy, weird Bayou burger thing. And anyway, it was awesome. But politically speaking, it was a night of many lights and memories. And I don't know how it all turned out in the end. I guess big turnouts at both. The rumors floating around is that Bernie got way more turnout than Trump did.
Wow.
I think a lot of people really don't like him here, whether they are, you know, true blood Republicans or not. They just don't like him. I think that's a thing. It's hard to say, but we'll see. Tuesday's a big day. I'm almost positive though it'll go his way. I mean, what are we gonna do? Well, maybe it'll be Cruz. I don't know. I don't know what we're gonna do here. It's Utah. You never freaking know. One second you're like, they're the most conservative state in the world, and then you find out that we have big exceptions for abortions where if it's rape, incest, or health of the mother, it's all good. Or at least that's the general consensus of the people. Right. And then down south, that makes us look like tree-hugging liberals, you know? Right. Like, I don't know. We're all over the place here in the Utah.
In the Utah.
And then finally, so one more Walking Dead reference.
Yeah.
I am catching up on the current season. Wow. That is a show that is not only found its legs about season 4 or so, but continues to just, it's, I know it's because it's genre television. It's going to get ignored by award season.
Sure.
I don't think should. For sure. I don't think it should. It's really good right now. Like really, I don't mean just, ooh, this is great zombie show. I mean like that Morgan episode.
Yes.
Unbelievable, dude. Like totally. Downright artful, I would say.
What a great evolution for that character too.
No, I love it. I love everything about him. I love that guy he found. I love that whole interaction, that interchange. I like everything about that guy's origin story. I mean, yeah, it's basically an Obi-Wan Kenobi moment, but who cares? It's great. Sure. I love how it's juxtapositioned against the backdrop of a world gone mad. Like, I loved it. And here's two things I walked away with. One was, see, you don't have to be a total douchebag in the wasteland.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part of me said, yeah, but this show likes to set up people in a good way and then later tear them down into piles of poo.
Right.
Or something like that.
Well, it's the good, the bad guys do get what's coming to them, but they usually take a few good guys with them on the way down.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly right.
That's the moral of The Walking Dead.
Corinne, this just in. Beep, 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 beep. Corinne Lewis, co-creator, runner of the Nerdtacular event and good friend of the program and longtime friend of mine. I've known her since 1992. She says 14,000 for Bernie Sanders at his rally. Mm-hmm. 2,000, less than 2,000 for Trump is the official numbers.
Now, boom, boom, ba-doom.
Here's what I think. I think Utahns and Salt Lake Cityers have this in their head, and I believe it. I saw this artwork floating around on the internet, and it showed the three top candidates currently in what Batman character they are. So it showed, I wish I had this, I put up on the screen. They showed Hillary Clinton as Two-Face. Okay.
Okay.
Which is totally true. She'll say one thing. She's total bullshitter on the other side.
Each face has its own email account.
Exactly. And very well done. And then it showed Trump as the Joker, big dopey looking Joker, and Bernie Sanders as Batman. You don't necessarily always agree with the way he does things, but you'd never question whether he's seeking justice or not. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of how I think the locals feel.
Wow.
And it's surprising a lot of people because, you know, although I did find out yesterday that one of my in-laws, who I have great respect for, is totally voting for Trump, and I just want to go over there and strangle him.
I want to see Ted Cruz as the Penguin now.
I know.
I think he just needs a monocle and a hat. And
it's it. That's it. Why isn't that on that art? Oh, my gosh. The other guy missed an opportunity.
Yeah.
All right. Let's dive into some additional things. Your weekend was good, though. Yeah, you got a lot done.
Yeah,
sounds like.
I printed a. So I'm printing a Hearthstone box on a 3D printer.
This. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
So is this just the lid so far, or what do we got done there?
So far, it's the lid, and the way it works. I'm gonna try and hold this open so it does not fall apart, because there's no, obviously it hasn't been painted or glued. So the way this works, and I'm holding it up to the camera, and I'll describe this for the people who listen to the podcast. But the lid is in two halves, and the ring that's got the center bit is in the middle.
Yeah.
And so when this opens up, it opens up with two hinges on each side that go like that. So it opens up just like it does in the game.
Yeah. That's so cool. Now, is that the whole box, or is that considered just the lid?
That's just the lid. And each piece takes about, oh my God, somebody has already done Ted Cruz as the Penguin artwork, and it's perfect.
Look at that. Yeah, that's going. I'm putting that up on this thing. Yeah. Anyway.
So the box itself, you know, not counting that circular thing on the lid or the hinges or the corner pieces. Each piece takes about 20 hours to print, each of those four pieces. Mm. So I can really only do it on days where I'm not podcasting. I mean, I might be able to do a piece if I start it as soon as we're done with the show.
Yeah.
I can start it and it'll be done tomorrow. What I might even do, because I made that soundproofing thing with the foam.
Yeah.
I should try that. I should call you and like on Skype and just see if you can hear it when it's running.
Oh, yeah, I'm curious about that, actually.
Yeah.
How that works.
And we'll try it. Okay. All right. And anyway, so about 20 hours for each of the four pieces. But I just have the two bottom pieces left to go. So
wow.
Then I'm going to prime the whole thing, sand it, and start painting it.
Are you gonna put any fake cards in there or do anything like that? Like some kind
I don't know. I don't know what I'm gonna put in there. You know, I've got Every year at BlizzCon, or for the last 2 years at BlizzCon, they have these cards you can go around and collect.
Yeah.
And it's like all of the, I have it somewhere over here.
You love that stuff.
Oh, I do love that stuff. So like there's the nine cards for the nine heroes for the first year. And then this last year it was collecting the pieces for the adventurer's sword. And, you know, I could see making a smaller one of these to hold those, and that would be pretty dang cool. This thing will hold, I don't know what it'll hold. It'll hold like decks of cards.
Wow.
So.
I love that idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I want
to
just use it.
Do you have any of the old? I used to have stacks and stacks. I probably still do. I could send you from the old the TCG.
I have boxes of the
Warcraft game?
TCG.
Those would be fun to put in
boxes.
There.
No, I want to sell those or do something with them. I got them to get, you know, loot.
Sure.
I got them to get stuff like this unscratched white camel mount card, which I have right here in my hands.
Oh,
unscratched.
My gosh. What, are you going to try to sell that or something?
I've thinking about it. Yeah. I don't know. I think I want to sell. I don't need another mount.
That might be enough money to cover all the cards you bought. So.
It might actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Think about
anyway.
It. All right. Well, good.
Thanks.
Progress.
Thanks for giving me an opportunity to plug my white camel unscratched loot card from Warcraft.
Yeah, I think that's great. I still have something like that hanging around that I never opened. I don't remember what it was. We're going to call Daryl.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's get a little challenge in our lives. A little bit of a challenge. I don't mean Daryl's a challenge. I just mean that we're going to give him a challenge.
Let's play Annoy Daryl with Questions.
Yes, that's the game, man. Everyone knows it. Here's your little themey-jeemy right here.
Yeehaw! I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
Hello, Daryl. What's going on? Good morning.
Hello.
Hi. It's Daryl. We stump him. He comes on the show and answers a trivia question about some nerd topic. And he tries to do as best he can while we have a listener also participate in some small way. And if they win today, they win some cool stuff.
Yes.
So, Daryl, I'm very excited to do that. How was your weekend? What are you doing? What's up?
I'm sitting on the phone. I'm here and I'm ready.
Are you at work right now? Is that where you're at?
Yep.
Okay, well, good. Let's welcome to the line one of our callers. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Mary Heidenberg.
Well, hello, Mary Heidenberg.
Oh, Mary Heidenberg.
Yeah, we love her. I like
she,
it.
She provides blue Oreos.
Yes. And many.
Oh, every kind of Oreo.
Every Oreo. Look, I, here's what I know about.
I was trying to go off the Heisenberg, Heidenberg.
Here's what I know about Mary. If she goes to a store and there's a Oreo there that is that she has yet to have purchased, we will soon see them in the mail. That's been my experience with Mary.
What's, and there'll be some coming, too.
That's all oh, good.
Awesome. What, are there any flavors of Oreo that you wish they would make and they haven't yet?
Ooh. I
alligator
can't think
cheesecake.
Of one.
Alligator cheesecake sounds good.
Alligator cheesecake, yes. Mm. Or etouffee, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be
oh,
all right.
Oh, now we're talking.
Yeah, sounds all right to me. Well, today...
Gumbo Oreos. Mm.
Today may be your lucky day. Turns out... you can. You know what? Today you're going to get a choice of prizes. You can either choose between, if you win, and I'll let Brian explain to you the rules in a second. Oh, before all that, though,
yes.
Today's Stump Daryl is brought to you by...
Thank you. Dear Scott and Brian, longtime listener, and hopefully one day Tadpooler. By the way, you're always a Tadpooler, even if you don't make it to the live stream.
Yep.
A dear family I know is going through a rough time right now, as their 3-year-old son is about to embark on a journey to receive his second bone marrow donor transplant. Due to the severity of the case, the family will be required to move to North Carolina for up to 4 months for the procedure while maintaining things at home. Please take the time to read the full story at tiny.cc/helpryan and give as you're capable. I'd be greatly appreciative, and I know the family would be as well. Give hope to a kiddo, though, and thank you from the bottom of my heart, Evan. So it's tiny.cc/helpryan.
Yep, go check that out. I went and read it and decided that we would want to bring this up on the show. So give where you can and if you can. Let's get to it here. Brian, will you explain... Oh, well, I was going to say, here's what you'll win. So you get two choices if you win. You can either have a copy of Contagion, a zombie-themed first-person shooter on Steam to either play yourself or give to anyone you love. You know, the gift that just keeps on giving, zombies. Or you get the choice of a song from Brian's vast collection of Andrew Allen tunes.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to choose. So at the end of this, if you do well, you can choose. Brian, explain the rules to Mary and we'll go from
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. So Mary, you're going to be told the subject of today's question for Daryl. You're going to give us your opinion on if you think Daryl's going to get it right or wrong. And then we're going to ask Daryl the question. He's going to guess. If you are correct, you win your choice of those two prizes. If not, we send you on your way with a lovely song in your heart and an Oreo in your hand.
You almost said send you on your merry way, didn't you? You almost
I did, yes. Why didn't I?
I don't know
like,
why. I would have.
Perfect opportunity for a pun.
Yeah, it would have been good. So let's do this. Daryl, here's your category. Brian, what is it?
The category is Pokemon games.
Pokemon games.
Pokemon games.
You've got kids. And you probably like a Pokemon game yourself, Daryl, right? Once in a while.
You probably shouldn't ask that.
Catch 'em. Gotta catch them all. Gotta, you know.
Something tells me that his response to that question might give him a good idea whether or not he can get this right or wrong.
You can always tell I know nothing about Pokemon because when I talk about it, I say, you gotta get the Earth Monster Burger Tea and... the chicken fart creature. Like, I don't know what they do in that
Chimander,
game.
Chode
Stuffer. Salamander Man. I don't know. But you got to catch them all, put them in the little ball, right? Is that the deal? You throw a ball at them and they get in there? That's how it works?
Right, yeah.
Okay,
that's
great.
Capture them.
All right. Well,
after you battle them.
Yes, you have to right. battle
oh,
them, then
true.
Put them
you
in your ball.
Weaken them.
Daryl, let's see if we can weaken Daryl's defenses with this question.
Hold on.
Well, oh, yes.
Let Mary decide if she thinks she's going to get it right or wrong.
Yes.
I love you, Daryl, but I think I'm going to say you're going to get it wrong.
Playing it safe.
That's a very safe choice.
Seems like a safe bet. In the original Pokemon games, Red and Blue, all right, this is way back, old school Game Boy. What is the city that you must go into in order to earn your first Pokemon badge? Here are your four options. A, Pewter City. Those are limited time only. Pewter City. B, Viridian. You know, you never hear pewter, like little pewter replica things anymore.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't.
Yeah, I wonder what happened there.
Like those used to be all the, like with the D&D miniatures, always used to be little pewter miniatures.
Yeah, and even like the mainstream stuff, like get this pewter reproduction of Thomas Jefferson's head. Available right. only for now or whatever. Now they don't
Franklin
do that anymore.
Franklin Mint apparently ran out of pewter.
Yeah, now it's all mint. Let's see. B, Viridian City. C, Cerulean City.
Cerulean.
Cerulean City. D, Saffron City. So it's Pewter, Viridian, Cerulean, or Saffron. Saffron, depending on how you say it. Those are your options, Daryl. Four big cities, four big chances for you to get this right or wrong. I wish we were testing these things today, but Brian still didn't get his yet.
Yeah, I'm hoping today.
Yeah, today will be the big day. I'll tell you what.
Did you get it UPS or USPS?
USPS.
Okay, I was going to say, because he can maybe check and see where it is.
Just yell Newman or something, because probably
Newman
Postman ate it.
Right. Some Papadopoulos or whatever they're called.
Exactly. Look at his name, for real. Like, Papa, I'm going to spell it. P-A-P-A-D-O-P-O-U-L-U-S. Papadopoulos.
Right? Oh, it is. They are Papadopoulos's.
Okay, so Papadopoulos
Caprice.
The last Caprice.
Name of the family on Webster.
There you go. They're referred to as delicious wafer rolls with hazelnut and cocoa cream. Mmm.
Sounds like a good one.
Yeah, it sounds all right. That's... Enjoy, share, offer, and freeze, it says. All right. We'll eat that tomorrow. Hopefully you get it. Daryl, why don't you commiserate now with yourself on which one of these you think is right.
Okay. Pewter. How's pewter spelled?
P-E-W-T-E-R.
Oh,
like
okay.
Like the soft metal.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking like computer with the com off of it.
Oh, like computer. Pewter City. Right next to Circuit City.
That wouldn't have lasted either, along with Computer City. What was it? CompUSA? Not Computer City. What was it called?
Oh, yeah. No, but there was Computer City, too. But CompUSA, right? Yeah.
Computer it was all City. That. Yeah, there was a Computer City.
Best Buy ate them all.
Yep.
Spit out the bones.
Nom, 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 nom. And Amazon's about to eat them.
Yeah, right.
Like a big Pac-Man behind them.
Well, anyway. Let's see here. Viridian, Cerulean, I don't know. It's probably one of those.
Viridian or Cerulean?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I want a winner, so I'm going to pick Saffron.
All right, you've picked Saffron. Let's find out if that's correct.
You're very transparent today.
Yeah. I don't know if you've given this up or not, but let's find out. Is it? It is not. The correct answer is Pewter City.
It wasn't even Viridian or Cerulean.
Yeah, it's the soft metals. That means that you are a winner, Mary. Mary, which of these two prizes do you like the most? What do you think there?
I think I want a song.
All right, a song it is. Brian will get with you directly via the chat room today and get you all that you need there.
Just shoot me an email. I have a look through all of the Andrew Allen music over on CD Baby or Amazon or iTunes. Listen to samples, see which one you like, and shoot me an email. Let me know which one you want.
Perfect.
We'll do.
Awesome. In the meantime, let me tell you this. Pewter City, if you have a battle, or no, sorry, you have to battle Brock, the gym leader in this town, to earn your first badge in the game. Here's a clip of Ash talking to somebody about the gym and Brock from the animated show. Here you go. Rare.
Don't tell me you plan on challenging Brock, the Pewter City gym leader.
Of course I do. As soon as Pikachu and my other Pokemon are better, I'll have no problem. Take me to this Brock's gym. I'll beat him.
Ha ha ha. You'll beat him.
Ha ha ha. That is garbage, dude.
It's a whole new world.
That is absolute freaking garbage. Oh my gosh, that's bad. All right. Congratulations to Mary. Daryl, congratulations for helping her win. Clearly, you didn't throw it. You just didn't know it. That's the new phrase. Daryl didn't throw it. He just didn't know it.
Right. There we go.
Good stuff. All right. I'll hang on to that Contagion copy for whoever may want that in future episodes, maybe tomorrow even.
Contagion.
Daryl's the tech trek. He's the tech trek nerd. He's the tech nerd, Trek Nerd, on Twitter. You can find him there. You can also find him thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. Wait, okay, there we go. All right. How do I shit? That's not a good thing to say. All right, Brian, that was fun. That was a good time. Let's dive into this.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by...
This segment of the morning stream is brought to you by Spring. Yes, Spring. Available for a limited time only. Enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, Spring is good. It was 72 degrees yesterday. It was so nice.
Wow, very nice.
Went down to the lake and looked for Mendoza. I found him.
Hmm.
And
what, really? He's alive and well?
Oh, yeah. He's still there. You remember that Mohawk duck I told you about?
Yeah.
He's still there. They've all come back. They were out there eating. We were throwing Cheerios in the lake, and they were eating those. You know, the minute I say that, I'm going to get an email from somebody going, "You shouldn't give ducks Cheerios. It's going to make their wings fall off," or some bullshit. Happens every time I say something like that.
Right. Right.
Anyway, Brian, do you have an?
Interesting. I wonder what the lifespan is for
a goose or a duck. I don't know. Let's find out. Goose lifespan. Let's figure this out because I'm curious now. Mm-hmm. Canada goose lives 10 to 24 years.
Oh, wow.
How about a Chinese goose? Hold on, China.
China.
keeping Chinese swan geese as pets. Nope. Okay, how long the lifespan of a duck? I do want to know what a duck's lifespan is. 9 to 12 years on a duck. That's not bad. That's like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese goose. Okay. Yeah, I can't find one for, maybe it's not, it's probably about the same.
Yeah, probably.
And it's, right, so it says here, you can live, the Canadian geese can live as long as 33 years in captivity if they're being well cared for. Now, I wouldn't call the lake over there captivity, but it does seem to be well kept in a kind of home, and they put fish in it, and you know, so it's a little more padded. It's like a nice, it's like a nice hotel, like a 4-star hotel for these geese. Also, house sparrows, 23 years, and northern cardinals, 22 years. And if you are a St. Louis Cardinals fan, that's how often they win the World Series, every 22 years. Ba-bum. All right.
Sports.
Sports, everybody. Let's move on to the news. Do you have an old Kindle? Do you ever have one of the original Kindles when they came out?
Not one of the originals, one of those big white slabs with the keys, the silly circular keys on it.
Yeah.
I do have one of the Kindle White or Kindle Touch or something like that. So
I have the Kindle Paperwhite backlit one, whatever that one is, and I freaking love it. I use it all the time. I'm reading books on it now. Well, not right now, but today I'll read a book on it.
Yeah.
Old Kindles with the old keyboard will be disconnected from the internet unless you update it by tomorrow. That's right, people. This is a call to action, a PSA, public service announcement. That old Kindle sitting on your desk drawer is about to get locked out of the internet. Amazon is warning customers of older Kindle e-readers that they must update by Tuesday, March 27th, or else they will no longer be able to access the Kindle store or sync with the cloud. That means, most importantly, that you won't be able to download new books at all or anything that's not already on it.
All right, tomorrow, people. Holy crap.
You could do file transfers on a computer.
Or I plugged it in and do it like that, or probably with a SD card or something.
Sure, you can totally do that. But anyway, the emergency update is for the original Kindle Paperwhite 2012 and every Kindle before it. So if you have the Paperwhite 2012, Brian, you might have to do the update.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to actually put a sticky note on my table here. As soon as we're done with the show, I'm going to go up and get my Kindle, plug it in so I can charge, because I haven't used it in about a year and a half.
You need to read more, Brian.
Well, I do on my do with real books or with my iPad, and that's worse for my eyes, I know, because of the
it kills me. I can't do iPad reading. That's why I ended up getting the Kindle, because I was like, it was just killing me.
Mm-hmm.
So this update, by the way, is cool, because one of the features of it was it makes it so if I pick my phone or if I pick my Kindle up off the table quickly, it turns on, it thinks I'm ready to read.
Mm. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Well, accelerometer in there?
Something like that. I don't know actually how it's knowing, but it happens every time I pick it up quickly, and it won't do it if I'm real careful, or I just slowly pick it up, it won't do it. So it must be some kind of thing in there.
It's funny. It seems like such an arbitrary date.
Yeah, it does, right?
March 22nd. Like they put this date in the history books for some reason.
Well, it's end times, so you got to be ready for end times.
Sure.
Let's see. Emergency update. Original. You will not update your Kindle before that date. Amazon says you'll receive a warning, and then you'll try to access your services and all Kindles, download and install the latest updates automatically if they're connected to Wi-Fi while asleep. If your Kindle is sitting somewhere in the house unplugged, like Brian's, however, it is likely it was not updated, and you shouldn't. You should do it. Go do that.
Gonna do it.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
The Trump presidency. Mm-hmm. The inevitable, well, some say.
Oh, no.
Some say it's inevitable. Some say, like me, look, I wish everybody would read The Rational Optimist. I know I've recommended that book before. But if you're feeling overwhelmed by all the negativity lately, read that book. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Everything's going to be fine. Generally speaking, the world's a rising road. The Simpsons predicted his presidency 16 years ago.
What? Really?
Yep. Oh. I'll play you some video here in a second. Okay. The Simpsons has been making audiences laugh since 1989. Yeah, to varying degrees. There have been a couple seasons. Where,
yeah.
I mean, I still like it. I'm not one of the haters, but there have been moments. Anyway.
We still record every week on our DVR. I usually watch it without Tina and Tristan because they've stopped.
They've moved on.
They've moved on.
It's fine. It's 20, I can't. 22 years.
I don't know how to quit you, Simpsons.
It's 22-something years or whatever it is.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
A forward-looking episode from 2000, the year 2000, may make some fans cringe. An episode of the beloved American sitcom had aired almost exactly 16 years ago on March 19th, 2000, features Donald Trump as president of the United States presiding over a broken economy. In the episode, Bart Simpson gets a glimpse of the future, only to find that he is pretty much a loser while his sister Lisa has become the president of the United States. She calls a meeting in the Oval Office to assess the damage done by her predecessor Trump. An advisor holds up a plummeting line chart and explains we're broke. So I'm going to play that now.
Okay.
Chat room, you can actually watch along if you're on video here. There's old man Milhouse. That's pretty funny. All right, so here we go. Let's get this going.
Now, look into the flame. Look ahead 30 years to the man you will become.
Okay, Bart drinking
that's
beer.
Me in the future?
Quiet, you're about to see something.
All right, he's living in an apartment. He's got a guitar.
Check, check. Hello, Capital City.
All right.
Hologram still sounds like he's for Bart Simpson.
Here's a hologram.
Hey, Dingus, your band can play at my club tonight.
All right, I'm skipping ahead because I need to
but
get to this part.
But I can only pay you in popcorn shrimp. Smell you later.
Where is it?
I can't believe smell you later replaced goodbye.
All right, here
smell
you go.
Smell you later.
Here you go.
1600.
Okay, is it the White House?
Sweet.
Okay. Excellent question. Yes, I am proud to be America's first straight female president. As you know, we've inherited quite a budget crunch from President Trump. How bad is it, Secretary Van Houten?
We're broke.
The country is broke? How can that be?
The world.
Quick, Lisa. Call off your... Oh!
Okay, skipping ahead, trying to see if we see
Watch
Trump.
The ponytail.
Set him up, please.
Nope.
What are you doing here?
I don't know if they show him, yeah.
All right, yeah, that's it. So they predicted that he was the president.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Way to go, Simpsons. Good job.
I'd suggest that, if it comes down to Hillary versus Trump in the final battle,
yeah.
I'd say she could have used that as, like, part of her... in her commercials and stuff, but it doesn't bode well with the first straight female president. Yeah.
That's a great line, by the way.
It is, yeah.
What else is going on? Oh, Hulk Hogan, brother. He was awarded $115 million in his Gawker lawsuit.
Wow.
His invasion of privacy lawsuit where his best friend at the time filmed him and his best friend's wife doing it. He was fully aware of this. This was an arrangement they had.
Right. He was in the closet or something.
You know, like you and the weird neighbors. Just kidding. That's a joke. In the latest development in the protracted and controversial legal battle between Terry Jean Hulk Hogan Balea, and Gawker Media. Is that his real name? Terry?
Terry. Right. I didn't know it was, I thought it was just Terry Hogan. I didn't realize that, Hulk Hogan was actually, both parts of that were...
It's just a character name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird. I've been watching him on, there's this animated show on Adult Swim that's now on Hulu called China, Illinois. what a weird thing that is, first of all. Second of all, Hulk Hogan plays the dean of a college in it. It's pretty great.
Okay.
He even makes a line at one point about sleeping with somebody's wife.
No way, really?
Yeah, and this is like years ago.
So. Wow.
So it was
television, so prescient.
Cartoons, they're like prophets.
Yeah.
It's a weird animated show. Kind of worth seeing, I think, actually. Anyway, Florida jury on Friday sided with the retired wrestler in his privacy suit against the New York-based media company and awarded him $150 million in damage. It's a massive payout rendered in Palinas County Circuit Court was greater than $100 million that Hogan's legal team had requested. So he's getting $15 million more.
Wow, that's funny. Usually don't see a jury like, we're actually going to up this $15 million.
Yeah. I mean, he did. I'm fully in on his side of the deal that he got completely hosed on this deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he you know, it is an invasion of his privacy, no matter how, whatever his weird, you know, wrestler lifestyle
whatever
is.
Kink is.
It's still his life. Kink. Yeah, yeah, it's his. Anyway, punitive damages will be decided later. Whatever that, I don't know. So that's an addition to this. Hogan is visually emotional as a verdict was announced, sobbing as the court ruled in his favor. I'm feeling it now, brother. but this way, he'll be solvent for the rest of his life, or whatever.
I have this vision of, like, you know, every day before the court, before the trial continues, it's a guy with a long, skinny microphone leaning there talking to Hulk Hogan, say, "So, how do you feel going into today's trial?"
"Well, listen, I'm coming for you, defendant. I'm going to answer all your questions honestly."
Yeah, it's a funny deal. But I watched a bunch of it. My favorite part of it was somebody did a Florida Man story headline, but with Hogan in it. And it said, Florida Man, what was it? Florida Man shows up every day to trial how did he put it? Because he wore a black bandana with his suit every day.
Over like the headband thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it says, like, decorative headband. And if you didn't know it was Hulk Hogan, that headline just sounded like some other psycho Florida guy. But it was Hulk Hogan they were talking about. Good job, news.
That's funny.
Good job.
Does he get any royalties for it? He should get royalties from Clash of Clans. I know we've talked about this before, but...
Oh, because he's the little yelling guy?
Every yelling guy looks like Hulk Hogan.
That's interesting. I wonder if you could ever... Well, I guess Lohan.
Lawsuit.
I guess Lindsay Lohan is doing that. She's suing GTA for what she says is her likeness. So I guess you can do that in video games. I don't know. No, maybe nobody's told him. Hey, Hogan.
What, brother?
Your face is all over Clash of Clans.
I don't know if you've heard of this game. They really don't market it at all.
Yeah, not one bit. Have you played that new one they got there, the Clash Royale? Have you played
that? The cards one. I did play that, and it's okay.
People really like that game.
Yeah.
It's incredibly, something like over 100 million players.
You hate tower defense, and that's kind of like a tower defense card game.
I think what I like about it, it's weird, because it's a combo of tower defense, but I'm not really tower defending. You know what I'm saying? Like, tower defense, what I don't like about tower defense is I'm always upgrading towers. Like, oh, should I make this one shoot bullets and this one shoot arrows, and should I put three more towers up this way? It's mm-hmm. not the same. Like, you always just have the three defended towers, and they are what they... It's more like a MOBA, is what it reminds me of. Just like a MOBA where you can't control the characters once you lay them down. Right. I don't know. It's interesting. It's a fascinating combination of various genres.
It is, but it is. It's compelling. It's a fun game.
Yep. Video games, Twitch. Hear that? Video games. what else? Oh, here's a deal. They're making a stop motion film about Michael Jackson's pet chimp.
Oh, thank goodness. There's a story that remains untold, and and finally it's going to see the light of day.
Have you seen the trailer for Seth Rogen's Dirty Hot Dog movie? His sausage party movie?
No.
So he's got him. They're making an animated movie that looks like something out of DreamWorks or Pixar or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's all 3D animated, and it's about food. And they're so excited to get bought at the store, but when they get back to the kitchen, they realize it's all crazy because you're getting cut up and eaten and, you know, put in a blender. And
is it Seth Rogen or Seth MacFarlane?
Rogen.
Huh. Okay. This is something I'd expect from Seth MacFarlane.
It does sound a bit like something MacFarlane would do. But it's super rated R.
And Seth Green. Oh my God. It's like, it seems like it's like the...
all the Seths.
The Uniting the Seths.
Yeah. Uniting of the Seth.
Revenge of the Seths.
Yeah. Revenge of the Seth. The Seth Lords is what they're called.
It is right there. Sausage Party.
Yeah. And it's, you should watch it because it's horrendously offensive.
Sure.
Like F-bombing up and down the what do you call them? The hot dogs all look like wieners and the buns are all ladies and they look like vajayjays. Like it's super suggestive in every way. Plus when things start to go bad, they just start yelling, "What the mother effing burger bro?" Like little cartoon characters swearing, I think is the entire premise of the film.
All right.
It kind of seems like the opposite of fun to me. Like, it doesn't, it's too, like, what's it like? It's not, what's that Avenue, like, Avenue Q?
Avenue Q, yeah.
You know, the idea there is like, oh, it's like Sesame Street, but dirty, right? Mm-hmm. For some reason, that's, I don't mean okay with me, but for some reason, that works as an idea more than just, here's an animated movie.
It's like, you know, the parents are gone, the kids can swear all they want kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. And plus, Seth Rogen doesn't always have the best record with me. That's how he does it. Sounds like Hulk Hogan again.
It's perfect. Yeah.
Hulk Hogan? Hulk Hogan. Not Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan. Whoa. Anyway, they're making a stop motion film about Michael Jackson's pet chimp that he had.
Okay.
Let the Webster.
This is like the true story. They're going to make up a.
Yeah.
The like big, a man in a yellow hat kind of situation.
Yep, and the big twist at the end is that it was Webster all along. Anyway, it was a real disappointment when the cast and crew behind the lyrical, penetratingly sad Anomalisa lost the Oscar for Best Animated Feature a few weeks ago, though the award going to the very deserving Inside Out eased the pain a bit. Charlie Kaufman's latest feature, produced in conjunction with Community creators Dan Harmon, Brian. Mm-hmm. Dan Harmon.
More like Rick and Morty, Dan yeah. Harmon.
Yeah. And then Dino Stampatopoulopopotamus.
Stamatopoulos.
Thank you. The studio of Starburns Industries introduced some uncommon subject matter. Insecure self-involvement, existential anxiety, and the works to the realm of stop-motion animation. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. He's talking about his next thing. It's called Bubbles, because that was the name of the monkey.
Mm-hmm.
It is an offbeat chronicle of the life and times of Michael Jackson as seen through the eyes of his pet chimpanzee, Bubbles. Working from a high-demand script that toppled the blacklist, and an annual rundown of the hottest unproduced screenplays in Hollywood, Harmon will executive produce the film along with Stampalopitopoulos, though director has not yet been named. It'll be stop motion. It will follow Bubbles' relationship with the King of Pop, from his adoption from a Texas research facility through his eventual relocation to a Florida monkey sanctuary. Monkey sanctuary. In 2005 due to the over-aggression and possible suicide attempt. I didn't know about that.
I didn't know about that either.
Can monkeys do that? Now, they can do suicide attempts? I didn't know that. That's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So now, you know what? Now I'm intrigued. Dan Harmon, just his name attached to this project gives me... really, really gives me hope. Like, this actually will be something that will probably be entertaining.
It's funny how one or two names can do that to a project, totally. You know? Like when I hear, I don't know, well, what's a good example? I'll hear somebody's directing something and up until then I'm not on board, and then I think, oh, no, wait, he's never let me down before. I think
right, exactly.
Yeah.
Alejandro Inarritu. Make sure our cameras will swing around in a circle. Or I am off the project. See.
I'm sure he doesn't talk like that. We've heard him. We've heard
one
him talk.
One can hope.
We've heard him talk. He doesn't talk like that.
He does not talk like that.
Anyway, with many legal difficulties preventing an actual straightforward biopic of the often turbulent life of Michael Jackson himself, Bubbles could present an alternative, an incentive workaround, and open an avenue into telling a man's extraordinary career from the eyes of a stupid monkey. I'm actually way into this.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to get into it. I think it sounds exciting.
And interesting, stop motion animation, not doing it as like a cell animation project, which, you know, obviously he does with Rick and Morty. Mm-hmm. Not doing live action, but doing stop motion.
I'm all in. Yeah, people, listen, chat room, I got to recommend that China, Illinois. It's not for kids, but man, it's what a weird ass thing that is. You just need to watch it. And there's a bunch of people in it, you know, like George Bluth. What's his name? Jeffrey Tambor's in it.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Obviously love him.
Yeah, he's great. There's a bunch of SNL people. Who's on your Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the secretary?
Andy Samberg. Oh, the
Chelsea,
secretary. Gal.
Chelsea Ferretti or...
Chelsea Peretti.
Spaghetti,
yeah.
Whatever it is. Yeah. She's in this. There's a bunch of people
She's
like
great.
That. Yeah. I think it's absolutely worth watching. It's some ex-South Park guy made it. Very weird. Really, really weird. There's a time-traveling Ronald Reagan that can freeze time and then like poop in people's mouths while they're asleep. It's really,
really
weird. Yeah.
Okay.
Really, really weird.
Interesting. We're about four episodes in. Binge watched on Saturday night four straight episodes of Daredevil.
Oh, very nice.
And
so far, what are you thinking there?
So far, you know,
a little slow.
I'm on board with all of it.
Mm.
Except for the Punisher's earlobes. I just can't imagine that a guy with earlobes like that would become the Punisher.
Well, it helps him have balance while he's holding big guns.
Slap when he's shooting his guns. Blah, 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 blah,
the reviews are like, oh, it doesn't really pick up till halfway through the season. Others have said it's great.
Well, I don't know. The first three episodes, actually first four episodes, I really like.
I'm sure I'm going to like it. I don't like Vampire Girl. She's the one that I don't like.
Vampire
She's
Girl.
She's too eager. It's, what's her name from, she was on Blood,
Deborah Ann Wall.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't, sure, she's just too.
Karen Page.
Spazzed out
too
all the
time. Eager?
Not eager, just, I don't know what it is. She's
too wide-eyed and innocent, kind of.
Yeah, but also just constantly getting, I don't know. I don't know what it is about it. I don't mean her as an actress, just that role.
The character.
Yeah, something bugged me about it the whole first season. Does Daredevil still, does his Scottish accent come out when he's in the rain yelling? Does that happen now?
I mean, I keep forgetting that he's a Scottish actor. No, I didn't notice it.
Because the first season, anytime he was in the rain or outside, he would go, he'd suddenly start talking Scottish.
Huh.
You don't want something.
I have not even noticed it. Yeah. But Shane, I can't remember the actor's actual name, but
John Barenthal, I think.
That's right. That's right. He's great as a Punisher. I don't know. He hasn't completely made me forget about Thomas Jane, but he's, I don't know. He's really good.
You know what? Thomas Jane made me forget about Thomas Jane, because I love him so much in The Expanse.
Oh, The Expanse. He was great with, except that goofy hair, but yeah.
I love that hair. And I love how skinny he got and just like weird. Right. And he's a belter, man. In the book, he's like 3 feet taller than everybody else. Mm-hmm. They can't do that, obviously.
No. 3 feet, really?
Yeah. Because all the belters are enormously tall and skinny and drawn out because of their gravitational stuff. Low gravity. Well, hello everybody. Talking again about Squarespace. Squarespace.com. Playing this rad Mario music in the background. Why? Because I like Mario, and it might be a subject I'd want to build a fan page for. And if I want to do that, well, I need a website, right? I can't just like make one poof out of midair. I could go to a bunch of classes and spend months and maybe years learning how to code properly and work with databases and do all the security stuff myself. But at the end of the day, I don't know that any of that's going to yield me much. Why not instead go to squarespace.com, where I can build a blog, a portfolio, a storefront, a website dedicated to Mario, whatever I want. Make it standards compliant, make it look good on mobile, desktop, all the templates and tools I need. And on the cheap. You get that free trial for 14 days, no credit card required. And if you decide to stay, and I know you will, just use the code MORNING at checkout and save some money, 10% off your sign-up. That's 10% off with the code MORNING at squarespace.com. Squarespace. Build it beautiful. Let's take a break when we come back. It's major spoilers time. Time to spoil in a major way. Oh, now it's back.
We'll fix that.
Anyway, he'll be here to talk about all that stuff. After that, we have Veronica Ann Belmont with her take on video game news on this fine Monday. Before all of that, though, Brian brought music.
I did. So Michael Sluck wrote in, said, "Dear Bye Guys, I've been with the most wonderful woman for 5 years today. Married for almost 2 years. May the fourth be with you. We've been through good times and bad times, but what doesn't change is that I love Megan deeply. I didn't expect to find her, but now I couldn't expect a day without her. Also, is it too late to get a fish sandwich?"
Fish sandwich?
He wrote chicken and then dot, dot, stop. Dot, fish sandwich.
Okay. Yeah.
"Hey, two Oregon fish sandwich."
There you go.
Nice. Thanks, guys. Michael Sluck.
All right.
Her favorite song, apparently, is, or her favorite artists are the Beatles and the Ramones. Great taste. Their song is "I Feel Fine." So how about a cover of "I Feel Fine"? Now, the artist here is a guy named Vivian Campbell, who kind of gained notoriety as being a member of the band Dio. He's a guitarist. Was a member of the band Dio, but now he's a member of Def Leppard. Went from Dio to Def.
Whoa.
Vivian Campbell rocking it out from a tribute to the Beatles called Butchering the Beatles from 2006. Here's Vivian Campbell and "I Feel Fine."
"I Feel Fine."
Hey, Sneezy, need a tissue? Please don't call me that. Sorry, Sneezy.
Now, Spam, as we all know, is a meat-related food product.
You guys want some sandwiches? This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back.
Meat-related.
Meat-related, yeah.
Now, Spam, as we all know, is a meat-related food product.
Meat-adjacent.
Somewhere in the vicinity, somewhere in the neighborhood of meat.
That's right.
Yes. Sounds right to me. All right, well, that was a lovely, raucous Midway song unit deal. Let's steven it up a little.
Sure.
Let's stink up the joint with a little bit of automatic phone answer and Steven Man time, which just starts with
it's,
this.
It's my superpower.
It's pretty good. It's good. It's going to stop crime once and for all. Ladies and germs, welcome to the program. If you would, uber nerd and major spoilers purveyor, one Steven Schleicher. Hello, Steven.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I'm like Brian. I got through four episodes of the new season of Daredevil.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. What do you think?
And
so
I will say episode three, this is not really spoilers, but there's, I love the ideological discussion between Daredevil and Punisher.
Yeah.
Is perfect in episode three. Mm-hmm. And then Punisher, the guy who's playing him, I know you mentioned his name a moment ago.
John Barenthal.
Has like a 10-minute piece in episode four that is fantastic.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are we all going to be Barenthalaholics one day because we like him so much? Hey, do you think...
I don't know what else he's done.
He's the Walking Dead guy. He was Shane.
Oh, that's right, because I don't watch Walking Dead.
Yeah, you're not a... You don't watch that. That new season, I'm telling you, man. Walking Dead turned a corner. It's incredible right now.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
What was I going to say to you about this? Does this ever parlay into a movie role? Like, do you think we ever see any of these people take this stuff to the big screen, like you end up with a Daredevil proper
theatrical? I know that Daredevil, Charlie Cox, has said that in his contract, it states that he has the option of going up to be in a movie, in one of the cinematic movies. I don't think obviously he's not in the upcoming Civil War movie, but there is that option for him, his character, to be moved up to the big screen.
That could be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It totally seems like it would be just great fan service to even have a mention of him, right? Like, you know, one of the TV screens in Stark's building is showing a news report about Daredevil and stuff going on in Hell's Kitchen. I think just that sort of thing would be great, just to bridge the two.
And they do it the other way. Like, they'll make reference to the New York incident and things like that in Daredevil, but
and
it would
be nice.
And, of
course, Coulson going from movies to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So.
Right.
Sure, or have it so that Stark needs to, or somebody in the Avengers or Captain America Civil War or something has to go into Hell's Kitchen to get some guy or something.
Right.
And needs his help for like just a scene.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be all right. They did it with Falcon and Micro Man or what's it called? Tiny Man and Ant-Man.
Ant-Man.
Micro Man's a better name, by the way.
he talks really fast.
Oh, there is a Micro Man? Who's Micro Man?
I want to say he was
is he a little
It was early, really early comics. There was a Micro Man,
and he was a little tiny man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. He spent all his time crawling up people's butts. Like, what did he do? Was he just hanging out? Like,
you know, it's funny. I'm visualizing. It was like a creator owned.
Yeah, I actually had one of these. This was like a. I don't know if you're thinking of comic books or if you're thinking about that Japanese import.
No, comic books.
Oh, okay.
Micro Man Incorporated. Micro Man. Well, the Micro Man I'm looking at is a bunch of Japanese action figures.
That's what I had as a kid, were the little Micro Men.
For some reason, I'm visualizing a Jack Kirby artwork, but maybe I'm not.
Well, hold on.
Or maybe I'm mistaken.
There's Mighty Man. There's Micro Man. Oh, here we go. Character Micro Man. No, you're right. He appeared in six issues. Well, I can't find much else here. It says six issues of something.
Is it Jack Kirby?
It was issues of Femme Force, AC Annual, and Retro Comics. Invariable issues of those. He showed up in those. Who even makes the AC Annual?
Oh, those would be the AC, Atlantic the company. AC, I forget what it is. They're now defunct.
They're gone
actually, now. They may still be out there. I think Femme Force floats around every once in a while.
I wonder if anyone owns the rights to Micro Man.
I don't know.
Anyway, Steven, it's always good to have you here.
Yeah, thank you.
Cool stuff to talk about. I know we did talk about the Indiana Jones movie a bit last week, but I'm very curious on your take now that we know who the writer is. And some are excited because he's one of the highest grossing writers of all time in Hollywood, but he's also the guy that gave us Crystal Skull.
Yeah, I was going to say, unfortunately, he's written Jurassic Park, The Lost World, War of the Worlds with Steven Spielberg. He's worked with Spielberg before, David Koff or Kopp. But he also is the writer. You know, George Lucas came up with the idea for Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, but David Koepp is the one that actually wrote the movie. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it certainly got some people thinking about this.
Well, is this movie going to have another idea from George Lucas that they have to write around or no?
At one point, George Lucas had pitched an idea for the fifth movie to Spielberg. I don't know if they're going to use that story or not, but if so, he'll be credited as a story by... Yeah. Written by David Koepp and whoever else they bring on board.
Yeah.
But so I think that's kind of interesting that still George, no word on George Lucas, but people are I don't know, mixed feelings about this still.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at this guy's body of work. As a writer, Indiana Jones 5, which just got announced, Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit. If you keep going back, Angels and Demons, Crystal Skull, Zathura, War of the Worlds, Hack. I don't remember what Hack was. It was a TV show. Spider-Man. He wrote the screenplay for the Tobey Maguire. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Tobey Maguire. Is it Tobey Maguire?
Yeah.
Why does that Maguire sound wrong? Anyway, whatever. Panic Room, Secret Window, Snake Eyes. That was a Nick Cage deal that I think was kind of shitty. Now that I think about it.
He also wrote The Shadow.
Yeah, The Shadow. Mission Impossible. I actually kind of like The Shadow. I don't hate The Shadow. It's all right. Oh no! I'm thinking of the Phantom one. I prefer.
Oh yeah, Billy Zane deal.
I like the Billy Zane deal a little bit. The Shadow's garbage. Hot.
It's really weird.
Hot fire. I don't think I ever
saw The Shadow.
Oh, it's no good. Toy Soldiers. You know, maybe he's not that great. Some of this stuff's okay.
Here's the thing. If you look at like who's the guy up on Andrew Kreisberg, I think is who it is.
Yeah.
Or the guy that's writing the Transformers movies.
Yeah.
He has had ups and downs, or David Gorey, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
He's had ups and downs with some really crappy movies and then some fantastic movies. So it's kind of like, it all balances it out at the end. And I think David Koepp is the same way, where it's like, yeah, there's some really cool things in there, like Spider-Man and Jurassic Park and Mission Impossible. But then you've got Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And
what do you think about my brilliant idea I had on Current Geek? And it's been passed around a little bit since, but here's what you do. Because you got to pass the torch. It can't be Harrison Ford for the next three movies, right? This has got to be his last hurrah. Mm-hmm. So here's what you do. Indiana Jones and the Last Hurrah is what it'll be called.
Perfect.
It needs to be Steven Yeun, who plays Glenn on The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. He needs to come back as Short Round.
Short Round, yeah.
And he needs to take over and become the new action hero
interesting.
Guy.
You got to resolve that Mutt Williams thing, though.
Maybe, but I think it's a great direction. Like, he would be really good. He's a great actor. He would fit the role nicely. He's buff and tough and older now and wise. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with him picking up the slack. I don't know what your movies would be called.
Plenty of time for love.
Yeah. No time for romance.
They could give Mutt the Newt treatment during the opening credits of Indiana Jones 5.
He didn't make it to the refrigerator in time.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, exactly.
That'd be well, it worked for my dad.
Slow motion motorcycle accident or something.
I think it'd be a great idea. I would be a movie I'd actually be interested in seeing. Because if you're going to pass the torch, don't make it to LaBeouf. Don't make it to some other youngster. Either that or just reboot the damn thing and get, like all the talk about Chris Pratt or Tom Hardy or somebody and get them in there. Yeah. Or Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy would be fine.
Tom Hardy would be a pretty interesting choice.
Yeah, he's great. He's amazing. That guy can sink into a role and you just forget where the hell he went. Mm-hmm. So he could be Indiana Jones. I could hear him saying, "Don't look at him." He'd say, "Don't look at it, Marion. Close your eyes." Anyway, so let's talk about what else is happening. We'll see on that. I'm nervous, but whatever. I never try to judge these things until I see them. So we'll have to see. C2E2, Star Wars adaptation. Tell me what that is.
Yeah, so during the C2E2 convention this past weekend up in Chicago, Marvel was part of the Diamond Comic Distributors breakfast that they do for retailers. And while there, they gave a presentation that showed some of their upcoming things. We already know that there's a Poe Dameron series coming out from Marvel. They've already got a whole bunch of really cool Star Wars books already. But they are going to do an adaptation of Star Wars The Force Awakens, which is coming up later this year. I don't know how well it will do because the movie's already been out. And probably by the time it arrives, it will be almost a year since the movie was out. But still, Marvel and Star Wars adaptations have gone hand in hand since the 1970s. So that should be interesting for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be into that. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean,
Go ahead.
No, it already is a thing they're doing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like this would be a crazy and outside weird job they're doing.
Right. This will be a 5-issue miniseries. Okay. But there's nowhere. I guess it comes out in June.
I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Sure. Are you also ready for potentially Uncle Ben to come back from the dead?
No.
No.
Oh,
I'm okay. Not.
Well, I shouldn't tell you about this teaser called Dead No More.
Oh, no.
It will kick off with Free Comic Book Day in May. Uncle Ben and many other longtime dead Marvel characters featured on the cover.
Oh, my. So
this is the thing they were teasing a while back with just those three words, Dead No More, like just all black, white letters. Right. So idea
wait, so but
dead no more?
Dead no more in what way? Like, are they all zombified, or are they just
no?
Like,
they're definitely not zombies on the cover. The Marvel Zombies has kind of run its course, I think. But yeah. No, it's got Ben, and I forget who else was on there. He was front and center. But if you look, there were other characters who have been dead and have never returned from the dead on that cover, also shambling out from the light and the clouds and the smoke and the flavins and whatnot.
All right. Well, as you know, the old phrase: with great story comes great unbelievability. So
exactly.
Very much looking forward to Uncle Ben and his rice. All right.
I can't remember. Is Jean Grey, I guess, two different timelines of Jean Grey. We've got
1992 or whatever version that they have running around.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. We'll see. I guess we could bring her back.
But she came back a few times, she's right? Around.
Well, the one from the original X-Men is around.
Oh, right, because of the time
Phoenix
split.
The one that died with Mark Miller's run on X-Men is still dead.
Yeah, everyone loves Mark Miller for that. Mark
Miller. Everyone.
Yeah, everyone loves Mark Miller. there's a Spider-Gwen story in here.
Yes.
Can you tell me, I have to admit, I'm coming to this completely, like, I have no idea what I'm talking about. Who the hell is she, and what is the deal with Spider-Gwen?
So Spider-Gwen is Gwendolyn Stacy from Earth 65.
Okay.
She is from another universe, but now she is in the Marvel 616 or Marvel Prime, whatever they're calling it now, after Secret Wars. So she's definitely part of what's going on in Spider-Man Tales and current continuity.
Okay.
And now in, June, in the pages of Spider-Gwen Annual Number 1, they're also bringing Earth 65's Captain America into the main storyline. And so it'll be interesting to see how they handle that.
Okay, so hold on a minute. She
got bitten by the radioactive spider instead of Peter.
In her Earth, yeah.
Yeah, but that's like naming yourself Spider-Peter. Why did she name herself Spider-Gwen?
Is you it have just, to read the book to find out.
I hate that. Why isn't it
they did this whole crossover thing a while back called Spider-Verse, where they had about 2,000 different spider.
It was totally awesome.
Really?
especially when the giant robot Spider-Man.
The Japanese Spider-Man. That was exactly like what one I was going to say. Yes.
All right. I have clearly missed out on something special.
Yeah.
I feel
That's
bad.
That's all on Unlimited, so...
If you're a subscriber, grab that.
You know what? I need to get that again. I just need to get it. I let it lapse, and I don't know why. I think I was just like, I have so many $15 a month things. I should probably just let this one lapse. Maybe I should just get it.
It's not a bad deal. Mine recently lapsed, too, because I didn't update my credit card. But if you're okay with waiting 6 months for major storylines, sometimes longer for some issues, it is not a bad way to get caught up on comic books.
I actually think I am okay with that, because there's so much there that there's a million storylines I'm way behind on, so it's not like it's all new to me in a lot of ways.
Right.
I hardly use Comixology anymore because it's such a pain to buy and download that stuff now.
So one thing on Comixology.
Yeah.
I am still a big supporter of them.
I am too.
But here's the thing. Yeah. Now you can go to Amazon directly and you can look for the single issues, and you will see they will either be available for purchase as a physical copy, or it will be available for Kindle or Comixology. So you can buy through Amazon, buy your comic book, and then as soon as you open up your Comixology app, it'll be available for download.
But the problem with that is you have to go find out whether it's available for both.
I think most of them are.
Are they?
Yeah. I did a quick search, and all the stuff from last week that I was interested in was up on Amazon.
All right. Maybe I need to...
I mean, that's another way to get around it because of the whole, especially if you're on Apple devices, because of the whole we don't want to give Apple a portion of our money deal. If you're on, I believe if you're on the Android apps, I don't think you have that problem with the Comixology.
No, they the way that stuff works is it's just direct, because there's no chunk taken by the Google Play Store, or I guess it can be, but there's a way around it. I don't know how that freaking works. It's all space money over there. I don't know what they're doing. All right, moving on. Captain America: Civil War. That's Civil War II, I should say.
It's still happening.
It sounds like a big deal. Like, are they just trying to recapture the magic of the original Civil War run? Because that was a pretty epic, you know, huge publisher-spanning thing.
Right. So the kind of the deal behind it is there's an Inhuman that has the ability to see the future. And basically it's the same thing as the Tom Cruise movie. And so the sides are divided. The heroes are divided on should they protect the future, should they keep the timeline intact, or should they use these precogs to change the future and arrest people and stop people before they're allowed to commit these crimes.
Mm.
And so that's kind of your basis for Civil War II, again, kicking off on Free Comic Book Day, May 4th. I believe it's May 4th this year. First Saturday in May. So it's going to spill into all sorts of comics. It was originally going to be 6 issues. Now it's up to 7 issues, I understand. And they've got a whole bunch of specials that tie into this, including Amazing Spider-Man, which he was the kind of the center point for all the arguing in the first Civil War, where first he was in favor of hero registration, and then he turned his back against Tony Stark and gave up his Iron Spider costume, which another image that showed up at this event was Mary Jane in the Iron Spider uniform.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
will she be called Iron Jane?
Iron Jane.
Iron Jane. And then afterwards, it will get a one more day event.
Perfect. One more day two.
Yeah. One more day two. Because you said so many bad things about us the last time.
It's like Batman being called Bat Bruce.
Right.
Yeah. Or Super Clark. It's just stupid.
Well, you know what? They had to do it because there's a Spider Girl. There's a. Mm-hmm. Spider-Woman. Woman. There's several different Spider-Women. Yeah,
there are many Spider-Women, but this is my own. All right.
Yeah, there's all sorts of, after that Spider-Verse thing, there are all sorts of spiders running around.
Are you you guys ramping up anything cool for Free Comic Book Day over there at Major Spoilers?
We will have some of the reviews in of the free titles. There's a lot of them this year. Of course, some of them will be tying into the big Rebirth event that DC is coming up with very soon. There was no word at C2E2 about Rebirth because this weekend at WonderCon, I believe it's on Saturday, they have a big panel that they will be streaming live that breaks down all the information about what's going on with Rebirth, why people should be excited about it. We'll see.
WonderCon Anaheim, right?
Anaheim, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, good luck, guys. I've been there. I watched a guy barf there. I know what's up.
It's a nice convention center.
Anything else going on you'd like to tie people's eyeballs to?
That is it for this week. All sorts of cool things can be found at majorspoilers.com.
Good. Major Spoilers on Twitter as well, folks. Follow him there. He's always posting that weird guy from Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Time to go to bed.
I love that guy. It's amazing. Yep. So keep that up. It's Steven Schleicher. Take it easy. We'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
Bye now. All right. Brian?
Yes.
Next order. Wow, my hair is high today. Just notice how. Hair. I haven't sent you my video today. Let's do that.
Oh, yeah. Send me your video. Let me see your high hair.
I just forget to do it. See, look at my high hair. Look how high it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's high.
Yeah, it is high. Is there some product in there?
There's none.
No product?
Got up. Hey, they're doing a thing today.
Is it today?
Yeah, it's today.
Wednesday.
No, it's today.
The Lupus In deal?
I think so. Where they got the small phone rumor and the iPad regular getting pencil support and all that. I think that's happening today.
Oh, yeah,
and
you're
maybe,
right.
Maybe a TV
March
service.
21st. Great. All right.
Yeah, good times.
I want the Apple iPad Mini Pro Air.
Air Pro Mini Thin Pro 2.
Nano.
Yeah, Nano. Well, yeah, we'll see what they're up to. Who knows? It could be.
Yeah,
could be up
I'll
to
have
no
to
good.
Fire up the Apple TV. I always have it going in the office here next to me while I work. So,
well, someone needs to check this out. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Veronica and Belmont on the phone. Hey. You've just spent the whole weekend like Palm Springs, having a great time.
Oh, back to reality.
Yeah, it was like somebody's getting married or something, right?
Yes, my best friend.
Oh, lovely. Mm-hmm. That it looked like fun. You were in some sort of tube. Flying.
I was in a swan tube.
Yeah.
My friend's swan tube.
That looked really great. I have something for you actually from last week. I just want to share with everybody. Let's see, where did I put this?
Oh, I know what this is.
I really liked it. It was my new favorite thing. Is this it? Yeah. Great.
Just does not even sound like her.
It's not even you. It's so weird.
Like, it doesn't sound like me?
Not really. No. Listen, the last part especially. Hang on.
Yeah, the first half does sound like you, but the second half.
There's something really guttural.
Get possessed.
Yeah, like, oh no, Glenn, grab your gun. We have to leave this place. There's more zombies coming. Anyway, it's always lovely to have Veronica on. She comes on Mondays, talks about video games and the goings on therein. And even though you were gone for a weekend, I'm sure you've got some fancy tidbit you'd like to share today. What's going on?
When you're playing VR, what is the thing you would most want to do? What would you want to be in VR?
What do I want to be? Like, who do I want to be or what do I
want to
be?
What is the thing? If you could think of one thing you would most want to do or be in virtual reality, what do you think is like a common thing people would want to do?
Oh, man. Like, be able to fly, let's
say. Oh,
Is that a lucky guess?
That was a very lucky guess. Because today we're talking about bird simulators in virtual reality.
No. Wow. Are there a lot of those coming?
There are, and yeah. GDC definitely ramped up the bird talk. There is Birdly, for example, and this one you actually get to be in a flight contraption.
Oh, I saw a video of this thing.
With a fan in front of your face, you can feel the wind in your feathers.
Oh, really?
I feel like my VR world is not going to go quite that far. I feel like I'm not going to quite go that deep.
Why not? Why would you not want that?
I don't know.
Why would you not want that?
Okay, I can't do it with anyone watching me. That's all I know, because it looks so stupid.
Do you have to,
we all like, look like dingleberries in virtual reality.
Yeah.
Like plank the couch to really get the full effect.
Yeah, you have to lay down horizontally on this platform thing with wings strapped to your arm, and then you just, the fan is in your face, and you float, man. You fly. Nice. It looks like a workout, frankly.
It does, and I saw somebody that I can't remember who it was. Somebody had shared a video of them doing it from GDC on Twitter, and I thought, yeah, I mean, doing that in front of 500 people seems ridiculous, but I'm guessing it's very immersive. Like, there's probably something to the idea that for you to stay in flight, you need to flap your wings.
Right.
That wind adds some sort of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, you find like the updrafts and you coast on the wind. And I think it's a lot cooler looking than Ubisoft's Eagle Flight, which you just sit and hold a controller.
It looked real pretty, though.
It's not very immersive.
No, but it looked pretty. It looked really pretty.
It looks very pretty. Yeah, it does.
I'm into that.
So if we got the graphics of Eagle Flight, which I want to call Flight Eagle for some reason. I don't know why. I keep trying to call it Flight Eagle, but it's Eagle Flight. with the physical immersive nature of Birdly.
Yeah.
And man, we're getting somewhere.
It's like Ask Veronica or Dear Veronica. It's just hard to keep them straight. I totally
understand.
It's
just hard.
It is hard. So I'm looking at their website. They don't have a price for this yet. They say, let's see, serial edition, top of the... I'm trying to find a price. They don't have... Because I assume that they want to sell you more than just the game.
The game, yeah. And they want to sell you the peripheral, I bet.
The intuitive approach to flying, Birdly's full body immersion, and the unique combination of custom hardened software... are unprecedented until this day, it says.
I just love how they just strapped on, like, a fan onto the front of the thing. Like, it looks like it was just jerry-rigged, like, right into the front.
Yeah. It's worth checking out. Somniacs.co is where you can learn more, I suppose.
Yeah.
My expectation is that as we get into the first year of this stuff, there will be a million, especially on the PC side, a million flighty games where you fly.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be dogfighty stuff. There'll be weird, esoteric, like hard to explain kind of flight games. I mean, even that Res redo for VR is basically you're flying basically in that game. I think you're right. I think flying is it, and Brian was right to guess that. I think flying is going to be like the main thing you do in virtual reality for a long time.
I mean, but I don't know if it's going to be the main thing. I think something especially like Birdly like looks very cool, but at the same time, the contraption that they're selling looks very expensive.
Yeah.
And it kind of falls into the Guitar Hero trap of you buy all the stuff and then it just sits in your living room and you use it like once every 6 months when people come over and have drinks.
Yeah.
So,
plus you'll need a room for this. This thing's huge.
It's big.
It's like a rowing machine or something.
Yeah.
So if you've got room, I suppose.
We need a happy medium.
Yeah.
That little nightmare size thing. Yeah, we don't need that.
No. Are you
knocking over lamps, knocking over furniture?
Exactly, yes.
Before we go, is there a VR experience you're most looking forward to? Because I know, I mean, we've talked a bunch about how you and others, like my wife and others, especially in some cases, especially women, have issues with some of the motion sickness stuff and sensitivity to that motion, and they're still sort of learning why and all that. But are any of the announced things or shown things or demoed things jumping out at you as something you want to do?
I mean, there's a lot I want to do. I think I'm leaning more towards augmented reality right now, too, as being something I'm a lot more interested in.
Yeah.
But I do, I just love Tilt Brush. I love feeling creative in that kind of environment, and playing with things like that in a 3D space, I think is pretty phenomenal. Yeah. So that's, yeah, that's been my favorite kind of
thing. I feel like we're
going to
probably
so
see some really cool things like, oh, here's a roller coaster that feels really real. And there's these other things that seem neat and I'm underwater now or whatever. And we're going to really enjoy that in small bursts, but
I just want to be in a fantasy world.
Yes, that's what I want. I want, you know? And I want to paint. I want to draw. I want to like create weird sculptures. I want to throw things around. I want to have that place just be weird.
Like I just want a dragon to like come up and sniff me, yes. Or like, you know, like stuff like that.
Yes. I may have to capture that out. That's a pretty good line. Just want a dragon to come up and sniff me.
I just want him to sniff me. That's and be right. Like, you're cool, lady.
I
let's
like
go
that
for a
lot.
Ride.
It's all happening soon. People should be getting their Oculuses starting the end of this month and forward. And then pretty quick after that, everything else. And then I guess October on PSVR. All very exciting stuff.
Yeah, we've got a Vive coming.
Oh, good. I was hoping that one of my friends got a Vive so I could talk about the difference. I just can't justify both. And I already jumped in on the on the Oculus early, so I can justify the PlayStation thing, so I'll do that when it gets around, but that's a ways off.
It's an easier price to justify, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, to see where these high-end ones go is going to be super interesting. And the Vive with its towers and its whole room mapping and all that stuff is really, really interesting. So Veronica will have to come back and report back.
Maybe
we'll do an entire episode in virtual space.
Whoa.
Looking forward
flying
to that.
While you fly.
Yes. Veronica on Twitter, she's all over the place. Just follow her there and she'll tell you where she's what she's doing. Veronica, take it easy. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
See ya.
All right. She really is like the third sister I never had. Wait, I have three sisters. She's like the fourth sister I never had.
Apparently your third sister is like the third sister you never had.
Really good point. I'm going to share a couple emails with the fine folks at home before we go today. Here's one. This is someone called The Flash who says... How come you guys never talk about The Flash? You should talk more about The Flash. Signed, The Flash.
Wow.
He really wants us to talk about The Flash. He
really does.
I watched the first episode finally on Netflix with Nick and Kim and Carter, and that's a really fun, good time, that show.
It is. It's a lot of fun. Good casting.
That's DC.
Do
you think that's DC kind of doing the Marvel thing, though? Like, the tone of it is so much more Marvel, bright colors.
It's, to me, it's very much like more like they're trying to do the CW supernatural and I don't know, the superheroes and their love relationships.
Yeah, the pretty people. Yeah,
right. Whereas, you know, there's so little of that, it seems like, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. There's a couple, you know, there's Mockingbird and Hunter have the thing going on, and Quake and this budding relationship. But with Flash, it's like, hit a bad guy, date a woman.
I think what I like is the... What a nice recipe you laid out for TV.
Yeah, CW right there in a nutshell.
Definitely. But there's also, I guess what I'm referring to more is like the tone of it feels a little lighthearted compared to most DC stuff.
Well, it's a lot lighter. Yeah, it's definitely a lot lighter than Arrow.
Yeah, and I like that. I don't know what, I glommed onto it immediately and now I'm all in. I want to keep watching it. So we'll talk more about it as we watch it, I guess. I don't, you know, and this is the kind of thing I would have wanted to catch right away. I just never got around to it. I haven't seen a single episode of Gotham. I still have never seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wow.
So I'm behind on these things.
You are, yeah, and you call yourself a nerd.
And Kim and I started watching your Kevin Spacey business.
House of Cards.
Because we never saw that either, so we're starting
that. That's on our list for Tina and me, too, so very interesting.
And my wife loves it, and that means she'll love West Wing, because there's some similarities there, and now I'm pissed at her for waiting so long to watch West Wing. Anyway.
Yeah, Flash is good. I mean, I think you almost want to watch Arrow first, because there's crossover stuff that's going to happen later on with Arrow, but with Flash. But
I've seen all of Arrow except for this new season. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind then.
Yeah. I've seen some of the crossover, and then there was a little crossover at the beginning of this one. Mm-hmm. And here's what was weird: Arrow, when he wears his mask, looks a little like Dylan, my daughter's husband.
Oh, really?
And the kid who plays the Flash looks a little like Nicholas right now. Nick.
Yeah.
And so it looked like they were hanging out. Which is funny because they do hang out and they like each other a lot. So
that's funny.
Kind of made me laugh. Anyway, there's that email. Thanks for that. Here's a phone call.
Okay.
I'm going to play this for you. Check this out right here.
Oh, hi. This call is for the morning stream. It's kind of directed towards Mr. Brian Ibbett. You mentioned that you don't understand why anybody would want a bigger butt when you guys were talking about butt implants. Are you crazy? That's a pretty common thing for, you know, male suitors to look for in a mate. We're obviously not talking, really big, unattractive derrieres, but come on, that's something to look at, right? Right? Am I right? Guys? Ladies? Back me up here? All right.
No one's going to back you up there, buddy. No, I'm with Brian on this. I don't know why people want to make a bigger butt. If you've got a small butt, that seemed like the gold standard. Maybe that's changed.
Well, you know, a small round butt
seems
like the ideal thing. Give me something I can grab when we're walking through the grocery store, but
sneak peek into Brian's
daily
life.
Don't crowd me on the couch.
Yeah, exactly.
I still just like the way his phone call opens, like we called him. And he was surprised to hear from us when he called.
He has an inadvertent attitude when he calls.
I didn't see you there.
I always enjoy it. He calls quite a bit. I always enjoy them. So keep them up. Don't stop. Don't ever stop. Don't stop believing. You can call that number 801-471-0462 and leave us voicemails anytime about butts or whatever you want. You can also email us themorningstream@gmail.com. For all else, go to frogpants.com/TMS. Links to our Twitter, our Reddit page, everything. All the ways to get the show for free, it's all right there. Brian, let's get the hell out of here.
Certainly.
Do you want to... I think we should do it with some music.
I feel like I wish I could have queued up a Sir Mix-a-Lot cover, but... double up. Boom.
That's right.
Anyway, how about Ian in Atlanta wrote in, after 2 years, I graduate from Portfolio Center to pursue a career in design. It has been the hardest 2 years of my life, and I couldn't have done it without my wife supporting me and TMS in my ears on my commutes to class at 5:30 a.m. and home at 2 a.m. Oh, my God. How far is it?
Yeah.
I will have an amazing portfolio. I would hope so, going to a place called the Portfolio Center. And I'm looking forward to only working at the most 50 hours a week compared to the 85 I'm doing now.
Oh, Lord.
I trust your judgment in picking a song to celebrate this occasion anytime around the 21st. I really enjoyed that Japanese ska cover of Hakuna Matata by the Rude Boys a while back. So something in that wacky vein would be great. Keep the show on the down low, yo. Signed, Ian in Atlanta. I added the yo. I don't know why. I just felt like it.
It felt good.
Another syllable.
No, it felt really good.
I'm impressed, Ian, and congratulations on this devotion to your craft. Holy mackerel. Dude, I want to be like you. And that's exactly what prompted this choice for the song. This is a ska band, the Voodoo Glow Skulls, from the same album actually that gave us that Rude Boys cover of Hakuna Matata called Dive into Disney. It's not all Japanese ska, but it's like about 80% Japanese ska, which is fantastic. Came out in 2002. This is a cover of the song from The Jungle Book. It is I Want to Be Like You by the Voodoo Glow Skulls.
See you, chuckleheads, tomorrow. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
What the hell was that?
It was an actual dog.